Episode 138, BulaNetwork.com. Greetings from the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I had intended, in fact, I said about yesterday, and I've been battling a bout of sickness this week. Odd for me, because you're listening to a guy who just never, hardly ever runs fever. In fact, I can't tell you the last time I remember running a fever, but some kind of a fever struck me a couple of days ago, and man, just put me flat on my back. Intended to do a recording yesterday and kind of pick up where we left off on the using the Leo Babauta book about the power of less. I fully intended on carrying through to my promise, but I'm going to hit the pause button today because, well, news hit of a tragedy in Colorado, a shooting. And for whatever reason, I have begun thinking today, as probably many of you have, about tragedy and violence and death, and just sort of put you in a solemn mood. No, I'm not going to make it a downer show. So please, please, please hang with me, and we'll do it next. Well, aside from the sickness that has befallen me, I would have to tell you that all is well, thankfully. And I don't know. I don't know why this is. It always resonates with us, I think, unless we're just cold, heartless people. I think most of us look at the misfortune of other people, and I really tend to think, at the worst, people just gloss over it and try not to think of it. There are people, I've known some people, who are so self-absorbed, it doesn't matter what's happening to anybody else. They just really don't care. I don't think that that's typical. I think most of us, I think our hearts go out to people, and I couldn't help but look at this photograph that is now posted at the website, Bula, BulaNetwork.com, /episode-138. And I look at this young man, James Holmes, a 24-year-old student who is at the center of all of this. And I watched as camera crews went to his parents' home in San Diego, and his father gets out and the police take him to the station for questioning while his mother stays in the house. And I just, as a parent, your heart just has to break. And then you think of, at least as I hit the record button, 12 people dead, 59 injured, a record 71 people involved in this tragedy. And you think of the dozens of families that are directly affected. And I began to think not only of that, but then news began to flash of how Wall Street was reacting to this. And of course, first and foremost, the movie theater distribution companies affected, the studios being affected, as Wall Street experts are assuming that, well, the public is going to act in droves by not going to see a movie because of this tragedy that happened at a movie theater. I don't know so much about all of that, but it certainly does show us that the world is a small, small place, that the world is a community. Yes, this happened in a particular community of a city, of a state, in a nation, but there is this worldwide audience of onlookers, and we can't help but look at this kind of a situation and grow solemn. Now, I don't want to make this a dark episode, and I don't intend it to be that. But there is some power, I think, in solemnity. There is some power in us having sober, somber, and solemn moments. I think they're beneficial for us. Life and death are truly things that are just part of life here. No, the violence doesn't have to be there. It doesn't have to necessarily always be tragic. And we all probably, if we think about our own death, we hope that ours will not be quite so tragic, and we hope that ours will certainly not be violent, but it may. Tragedy and violence and death have been on the planet as long as men have. I remember as a kid going to funerals, and I remember watching people as they mourned, and as I didn't have, you know, necessarily a clear grasp of all that was going on. And it wasn't that my parents carted me to funerals as a little kid. But at some point, by the time I was in elementary school, I certainly had attended one or two. I certainly had some awareness of what death was, and I certainly understood that people were sad about it. Is there a value to it? I remember being a teenager and wondering about the whole value of a funeral, and just quite perplexed, to be honest with you, as to, you know, why would a family put themselves through that? I had the unfortunate experience one year. I had an employee, a young black man, and he was a valuable employee. And he was a husband, and he was a father. And he rode a motorcycle to work, and one morning he did not report to work. He had been in an accident, and he was killed. I attended the funeral, and I entered this Baptist church, a large congregation of people, all of whom were a different color than me. I'm Caucasian. I'm white. And I'd never been to a funeral like this. And I stayed for 90 minutes. And sheepishly, after 90 minutes, I made my way out. I was not the first to leave, but I was so enthralled and taken by the celebratory nation. Hello. Come on, Randy, get your mouth to work. The celebration of this young man's life. I was quite captivated by it all. And I'd not seen anything like that before. And I remember coming home, and I handed the program, which was just this nice little multi-page program that had full-color pictures, and I handed it to my wife, and I said, "That's how I want mine done right there." It was, parts of it were certainly sad, and it was certainly, it had its solemn moments, but I remember thinking, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. But even then, your heart goes out to his wife, his kids, those people. You know, once the funeral is over, then reality sets in. And I'm painfully aware of that. The shock of this all, it will pass. The outpouring of affection and sympathy, that too will pass. But these families, they will have to cope. They will have to endure. They will have to pick up and put one foot in front of the other. Those who have lost sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, and whatever other roles these people whose lives were taken, and those who may be irreparably damaged, they have to go on. So when we talk about business building and we talk about our careers and we talk about the tenacity to put one foot in front of the other and to keep on keeping on and all of that, I guess that today is partly where my mind goes. My mind goes to that tenacity. My mind goes to that part of us, that human spirit that just propels us forward, no matter what. There are so many stories of human resiliency that echo in our minds. These stories of people who've been put in just dire circumstances and horrific problems and challenges and situations and have emerged, no, not unscathed, but at least they have emerged for the most part whole. Oh, maybe they weren't physically whole and maybe they weren't completely mentally or emotionally whole, but they came through, they endured, and they overcame. I'm thinking of the 12 people who are dead and their families and the 59 who are injured. And I don't mean this to be taken wrongly, but I'm also thinking of the 24-year-old student and his parents. And while I realize that people can be quick to judge and quick to throw stones at his parents' home and what a dirty, rotten scoundrel they raised, I don't know them. I don't know him. I don't know what that home was like. I don't pretend to be able to be in a position to judge what happened here. How did a 24-year-old neuroscience student in a doctorate program, no less, who is by certain accounts on the news today, was a gifted student, what happens? And we want those answers. We really want those answers, and I don't know that we're going to get any more than we've gotten them on some of the most heinous criminals throughout all history. Why do these people do what they do? I don't know. I know this. He was old enough to be responsible and to be held accountable, and I've no doubt he will be. I'm quite certain that Mom and Dad are replaying all sorts of things. To what degree are they to blame? I don't know. I just know as a parent, I'm not in any position to judge them on that. Somebody else can do that. But I know that their hearts are broken. And I know that today, you know, the damage done is the countless hearts that have been broken by this tragedy. All the dreams, all the ambitions, all the future plans that died along with the victims. All the goals and dreams that were injured by those that were harmed. Despair. So what do we make of this? What do we make of all this? And where is the silver lining? I don't know about you, but for me, the first place that I go is compassion. And it's not one of pity. It's not one of, I wouldn't describe it as feeling sorry for. I would describe it as being sorrowful for. So yes, this afternoon on a Friday afternoon in Dallas, Texas, as I hit the record button on a July 20th, 2012, I'm reminded of all the sorrow in the world. I'm reminded of all the people who have quite horrible situations, and I'm saddened by that. I wish it were not so. But dovetailed onto that, and I'm sorry, but this is just how it is, I'm thankful. I'm not thankful for this tragedy, mind you, but I am thankful that in my own life, I am thankful that all is as well as it is. Okay, it's not all rosy. I've come off of a 2-day fever-induced, you know, bad couple of days. But even with that, I'm thankful that all is as well as it is. And yeah, you and I both know it's trite and it's old, but it is true. It could always be better. And it could always be worse. So whatever it is today, okay. I'll take that and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that all is as well with me as it is. It provides kind of a third thing, and I guess that's fitting because tragedy, violence, and death, it is what I call this triple. It's a triple, kind of a baseball analogy. It's a triple toward solemnity. But the third thing for me is just the value of perspective. And boy, doesn't it make all the trivial things just so, well, just so much more trivial. Doesn't it make you not care about some things? It brings home to me the fact that I know, and I learned this a long, long time ago, that everything cannot be important. And that if everything is important, then nothing is important. And today, and I'm just like you, this may pass. It may pass as quickly as tomorrow. I hope not. I hope I can hang on to this solemn feeling for a while, because quite frankly, I think we're improved by it. I think we're made better by it. People have been commenting today how the two presidential candidates have tabled, at least in Colorado, their hate-filled ads toward one another. Because for today, at least for today, isn't that big of them, for today, they're not going to snipe at one another, at least not in Colorado, out of respect for all the people involved in this. Oh, yes, that's mighty big of them. Some of the pundits have been on various cable news stations commenting how would that American politics could kind of embrace that whole notion every day. Well, that's not likely to happen. Oh, it's a nice thought. It's a nice thought that we could live every day filled with compassion toward each other. We could behave as we should toward each other. That even in our business practices, we could behave with no greed, with no guile, with no deceit, fully intent on doing the best by people, doing the best by our employees, doing the best by our families, doing the best by our customers, doing the best by our business partners, and doing the best by our suppliers. Oh, would that it could be that way. But it's not. Because this moment of growing solemn, it will pass. Oh, you know it will. It always does. And we resort right back to the muck and the mire of our own greed-filled, self-centered lives. I was thinking today, and I made a snarky tweet about it. It's regarding this whole thing of tribe building. And no offense to Mr. Godin, whose work I regard quite highly. And I think he's a quite brilliant person. But my tweet simply said, with all this tribe building going on, I'm working on weaponry to sell for the imminent tribal wars. Well, we're all interested in our tribe, and we're all interested in our own leadership, and we're all interested in our community, and we're not so terribly interested in yours, unless yours, of course, can benefit mine. And then I'm terribly interested. And no, I know that all sounds very jaded, and I don't mean it to be, because, well, I also tweeted this today. Marketing is not a dirty word or filthy activity. It can be, but it's not necessarily. And so today, when I think about community and I think about this horrible thing that has happened in Colorado and how our entire nation and the entire world at some level is impacted by this, or at the very least it's water cooler talk, maybe nothing more, but it at least for today is the news of the day. It is the news of the day. And some days are like this. Most days are not. Most days there's a variety of things that people talk about and discuss. But occasionally there is some event like this that is, well, just bigger than all the rest. And so I think about those three things. That for me is kind of this triple towards solemnity. And I wonder how I can embrace it and how I can be made better for it, how maybe I can be less self-centered, how maybe I can be more compassionate, how maybe I can be, man, dare I say it, how I can be even less cynical and less jaded, which admittedly for me is really tough. And the world doesn't make it any easier, mind you, for us to enter every day hopeful and optimistic. And yet, I have this inherent belief that, by and large, we do want to do good and we do want to be good. Now, we're not always that way. I was listening to a Wired Storyline interview with the creator of Breaking Bad. And admittedly, it is a terrific program. It's very well done. And it has a fan base that is just cult-like. But boy, there are some really dark episodes. And as I was thinking about Walter White and his cohort, Jesse, and all of the things that have emanated from the imagination of Vince Gilligan, the creator, and all of the writers on that show. You know, I can't be, I know there's this dark side. I know, yes, there are troubled people like James Holmes who exist and who perpetrate horrible things on people. And there are dark, sinister worlds that I have only seen on screen or read in books, and thankfully not seen in real life. But I'm very mindful that there are people all over the planet who live in these dark, dark worlds. And in many cases, perhaps, are hopeless. And yet here I am on a very solemn day full of tragedy, violence, and death, and I'm hopeful. I can't fully explain to you why. I think we have a world of so many possibilities. I think we are living in a world where there are so many things that are at our disposal that have never been at our disposal. There are so many opportunities and so many things that we can do for good. The internet affords us not only business opportunities, but it also affords us personal opportunities to reach out and to connect in ways that we've never been able to do it before, and to make a difference in the lives of people. And I guess for me here inside the Yellow Studio, it really does boil down to that. And if there is something to audience building, if there is something to tribal building, if there is something to traffic generation, and admittedly there is, if there is something to subscriber bases, and there is, then for me, I say, let it be so that my small, sometimes not so still voice emanating from a studio in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas can impact somebody for some good. Do I believe that I'm going to change the world? For me, I don't have to change the world. For me, all I have to do in order for my solemnity to be profitable for me is I just have to positively impact your world. And if I can do that, well, that's just good enough. As we race into the weekend, if you are a parent or a grandparent, hug a child. Yeah, a grown one, that'll do. Dads, if you don't hug your kids, if you don't hug a son, I've seen fathers and sons, you know, and they handshake. I don't shake my son's hand. In August, the Lord willing, he turns 32 years old. My daughter is about 18 months behind him. I hug them both. Yeah, there's little kids now. It's the next generation. Sure, I hug them. I know this, we have people that we love and that we care about, and we can tell them so. We can tell them that we love them, we can tell them that we care about them, and we can do that more frequently than we've ever done it before. We can kind of lose ourselves in trying to build these tribes and these communities that we neglect our own home tribe. You know it's true. How else can you explain a person who cannot maintain a successful marriage and a family, but they have wild popularity online? We've seen people with wild popularity online take their own lives. It's happened. Tragedy has happened. And my view of this triple towards solemnity is that we are absolutely out of our minds chasing the adoration of strangers and people that don't really know us when we have people that we can lay eyeballs on regularly and we don't talk. No, we sit around tables playing words with friends and Facebooking and tweeting and not connecting. Oh, but we're building a tribe, you know. And we're chasing the passive income, you know. Well, okay. Go for it. I would rather live this active life, and I would rather generate this active income based on actually engaging with and involving myself with and trying to positively impact someone's life. And let me end on this rant. If in business your objective is to generate dollars and you have failed to understand that a dollar is attached to a person, and that person is who you must serve and who you should serve, who you should be delighted to serve. If you fail to understand that, then you failed at it all. I don't care how much money you have. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. I hope you'll go over to iTunes and leave me a positive review. I hope you'll tell those that you love that you do love them. And I hope you have a good weekend. And Lord willing, next week, we'll pick back up and we'll do it all over again. Thanks for listening.